Hello all, I'm sitting down with Wesley McMasters to talk about his poem, Three Haiku for October. So, I guess it's as becoming tradition, Wes, what's the most recent piece of exciting mail that you have received?
Aside from the postcard from Red Flag Poetry?
Sure.
I did get a bottle of beard shampoo in the mail this morning, but other than that, I probably most recently got a letter from a friend of ours, Zach Fischel. It's been a while, but that's it. I mean, I look forward to the Red Flag postcards. I get some packages, but
What's beard shampoo?
It's a beard wash. It's specifically formulated to clean beards.
How is it different than, like, Dove shampoo?
You'd have to ask them. I'm not sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Have you used it yet?
I have.
Is it?
I have.
Is it clean?
Yeah. Would you like to?
No.
No. Okay.
So, will people ever stop mailing letters and postcards then?
I don't think so. If for no other reason than there'll always be a community of people trying to maintain tradition or be go against the grain. You know, if email becomes the primary means of communication, I think there'll always be a group of people that want to do the opposite, that they want to, you know, not be mainstream hipsters, if you will.
Has email already become the main form of communication?
I think for some things, I think for work, for education, it's more convenient, it's more immediate, but I think that maybe it's a different purpose, and maybe that's what will happen.
So, about your poem in specifically, what makes the haiku a special format for this poem, for poetry, for you, whatever it is? Why did you use it here? Why did you use it for this particular piece?
I think that any kind of structured poetry is good for any writer to practice. It gives you limitations, guidelines, and it makes you work. You know, I love free verse poetry too, but giving yourself a line count or you know, the 5-7-5 format makes you work a little bit harder and makes you write to fit, I guess. And sometimes you get very different results, and sometimes they're not good, and sometimes they are. But I think that the haiku specifically also, you know, traditionally is meant to be this aesthetically pleasing form and a very natural form that, you know, reflects nature and reflects moments in time. And I guess that that's probably why, in addition to, you know, it being a good writing practice, I think that this particular set of haiku worked well with the imagery that I was working with, because it's natural and it's a glimpse into a moment in time, I guess.
Cool. No, that's fine. I mean, and is that why you used it particularly here? Is because of that, the ability to utilize imagery? I mean, you mentioned previously that you only write longer poems.
Right.
Is that why you chose the haiku, because it is a shorter, limiting format?
I think so. It would be hard for me to write a 3-line poem or even a 9-line poem without something like a haiku in mind. It's just not my natural form. And so I think that making those restrictions and working within those parameters is how I can come to a product, a shorter product like that. I know there's a poet that I like a lot, Franz Wright, who often writes very short poems, like 2-line poems or 3-line poems. Not often, but he does have a few, and they're fabulous. It's also something that I can't naturally do. So in addition to the imagery being appropriate for a haiku, I think that it was a way for me to limit what I could do and get away from the longer poems.
Do you ever use prompts? I posted on, I shared on Twitter a prompt from Poets and Writers the other day. Do you ever use prompts when you write?
I haven't for a long time. I think that they're great. It doesn't necessarily work for me. you know, it's I need in between a little bit of a parameter and then, but also not a prompt. And I think that that's where I work best, you know, maybe a deadline and maybe a line structure, but a prompt might be a little bit too much for me. I think that they're great though. And I know that they work for a lot of writers and sometimes I wish they could work for me. Maybe I'd be more prolific, but.
So this is very visual, your poem.
Yeah.
Is it a specific memory or a series of memories or is this fictionalized? If we can ask.
Yeah, yeah. I think that as writers, we don't often differentiate between what's fictional and what's true.
Fair. Is it based on something that's real?
Of course it is, I think. Okay. I think you know, my argument is often that there's no entire fictionalization. There are fictional work. It's like the idea of creative nonfiction, right? Well, of course it's creative nonfiction. It's everything has to have some root in reality or it's not real.
But I mean, what I meant was this is very concrete compared right. to a more abstract
right.
Poem, and I can't think of an example right now, but yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, no, absolutely, it's based on, this is not a single event, and maybe these things didn't even happen necessarily, but, you know, I do have a memory of my mother watching birds, you know, in the winter especially, or as the weather gets cooler in October, and tea connects with that, and... You know, I have memories of frost and window pane, and I actually had stacked a lot of firewood this September. So I mean, I think that they're probably specific memories, but they kind of form one thought in my mind. And it's like the association with you smell fall air, you smell the air from October, and what comes into your mind, and it's this massive memory, but it's maybe not a particular, and maybe even a non-existent memory in some ways.
Sure. No, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. I once made up a memory of my father pushing me into some leaves.
Right.
But I only realized when I was like 15 that you don't have memories from the third person.
Right.
So it clearly didn't happen.
Right, yeah.
Why October?
I think it's my favorite month. It's also, I think, from being from Central Pennsylvania and growing up here and, you know, living other places, I think that October captures my home in a way that no other season does. Spring's great, summer's great, winter sucks, but fall in Central Pennsylvania and fall at home for a lot of people, no matter where you're from, is a very particular time. And there's a smell, there's an appearance that you just don't get. It's very, you know, and that memory is static, I think, for me. Anyway, it never changes. I get that whiff, and I always miss that. I get the whiff of October air, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is my home. This is where I'm from.
Yeah. Okay, and my final question for you. Great writers, such as yourself, always read other great authors. Who's your go-to author? Poetry, fiction, whatever. What's...
The poet that has inspired me the most is Lee Young Lee, an Asian American writer. Particularly his an earlier collection of his called Rose, and there are a few poems in that I appreciate aesthetically so much and I read them so early on in my academic career, not as a writer, but I think that I became a writer realizing that the things that Lee Young Lee did in his writing were things that I always wanted to do but didn't think that I could. And then I read somebody else doing it and I was like, oh, so not only does that allow me to do it, but it also gives me a foundation of reading to start from. Particularly, there's a poem that matches really well with this called Eating Alone. And the last line says something like, what else could I, a young man, want? And, you know, those moments of having a dinner by yourself and the memories associated with that because it's a family recipe or something like that. So Lee Young Lee, for sure. I mentioned Franz Wright. As far as fiction goes, I like Poe, but you asked me for one, so I
no,
tell
you. You can give me as many as you want.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Peter.